And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Amen. The Lord will bless his word to our hearts this evening. The Lord Jesus, in Luke chapter 12, verse 24, said, Consider the ravens. Remember last Sunday night we looked at Matthew chapter 6, consider the lilies. Well, tonight let's do what the Savior commanded us to do in Luke 12. Let's consider the ravens. And remember what we said last Sunday night, that the word consider, it means to study. It means to observe. It doesn't just mean to glance at something or give a cursory look at something, but means to actually look at it closely, consider it. So, folks, tonight, don't leave your brain at the church door like a lot of Christians do. They come to the church door for the service and they leave the brain at the door, and it's like they just flick a switch, turn the brain off until the service is over, walk out through the door and then flick the switch and turn the brain on again. No, that's not what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to consider the ravens. I want to talk to you tonight about a man who had plenty of time to consider the ravens. We've read all about him tonight in 1 Kings chapter 17. And of course we're talking about Elijah. Elijah had loads of time to consider the ravens because they visited him twice every day. He was by the brook Cherith for 3.5 years, hiding himself because the Lord had told him to hide himself. The Lord, first of all, said, Go hide thyself, Elijah. And then after 3.5 years, he says, Go show thyself. And folks, whatever the Lord says to you, you got to do it. Whatever he tells you to do, you got to do it. And it's none of my business to tell you what to do. No, your business is to do what the Lord tells you to do. And I must preach what he gives me to preach, what he tells me to preach. I must preach it. And whatever the Holy Spirit communicates, we must deliver it. Consider the ravens. You know, I like the thought of Elijah at the brook Cherith. No WhatsApp. No Netflix. No YouTube. No TikTok. Hallelujah. Boy, wouldn't you like to have been there. And he's just sitting by the brook every day and you hear the lapping of the water. And perfect peace and tranquility. And he's just spending time with the Lord, getting away from it all. Which, by the way, we all need to do. As often as possible, we need to have our brook Cherith. It's not easy. Sometimes you can be running from pillar to post. And there's times it's just like that. But it's not good if it's like that all the time.
But anyway, the Lord, he takes the servant to the brook Cherith, or I think the proper pronunciation perhaps is Cherith, but we'll not get too worked up about that. We'll not get into bondage about that. But whether it's Cherith or Cherith, this is where the Lord has him, and he's in the center of God's will. Nobody to distract him, nothing to distract him. And he has time just to talk to the Lord and let the Lord talk to him. And he's got plenty of time to consider the ravens. You know, I wonder, as Elijah considered the ravens, did he consider their color? Did he consider their color? You see, in Song of Solomon chapter 5, if you'd like to turn there to that chapter, Song of Solomon chapter 5, Solomon obviously wrote the little book, but in chapter 5, in verse 11, Solomon writes of the raven. He describes the raven. Song of Solomon chapter 5, verse 11. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. So there you have it, black as a raven. Here you have the Shulamite, this shepherdess lady. And she's describing her beloved, the one that she loves. And she says that his hair is as black as a raven. She's describing her beloved. She's taken up with her beloved. Her thoughts are filled with her beloved. She has eyes for no one else. But you know, I wonder, as Elijah sits there by the brook Cherith and as he considers the ravens, I wonder, does Elijah's thoughts go down the centuries to his beloved, Savior who would come, the Redeemer who would come, the greatest beloved of all? We were teaching the children in the Sunday school this morning how God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God was pleased with everything about his Son. Every thought, every word, every action brought total pleasure to the Father. Yes, he's beloved to the Father. Christ is beloved to the Father. But of course, he's beloved to us who are saved, isn't he? He's our beloved. And he was Elijah's beloved too, because remember, Elijah was saved the same way that we're saved. He looked forward to the coming Messiah. We look back to the Messiah who has already come. So we both love the same beloved tonight. And if we could bring Elijah down from heaven tonight, his conversation would be all about God's beloved Son. And Elijah would stand here and he would say, "See, you folks in new buildings, want to tell you tonight, I'm accepted in the beloved." Elijah would quote Ephesians 1 verse 6, whereby we are accepted in the beloved. We're accepted in Christ. We're accepted in by God the Father because we're in Christ. We're accepted in the Savior, in him. Our beloved, we love to think about him. We love to talk about him. We love to sing about him. And of course, that's the best way to live a holy life. You do know. Best way to live a holy life is to fill your mind with Christ. For holiness doesn't take you to Christ, but Christ takes you to holiness. Get it the right way around. You want to be holy, and we all should want to be holy and different from the world out there. I don't mean odd or peculiar in the wrong sense. Some people think of holiness as, it's not the holiness of the Bible, it's a false holiness. They're just odd. The Lord doesn't tell us to be odd, but he tells us to be different. He tells us to go against the tide, go against the flow. He tells us, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. You've got to beware when you're going with a crowd and you're going along with a crowd. When you're doing what most people are doing, that's when the alarm bell should start to ring. The red flag should appear. No, as believers we are to be different. There's to be a distinction between us and the unconverted, the unbelievers. And there in Song of Solomon, you have this young lady and her thoughts are taken up with her beloved. And it should be the same with us tonight as we think about our beloved Lord Jesus. Our thoughts should be taken up with him. So I wonder, did Elijah, as he sits by the brook Cherith, did he think about the color of the ravens? As he considered them, morning and evening, coming to him back and forward. Oh, the color of the ravens. I wonder, perhaps, did he think about the cry of the ravens? Did he consider the cry of the ravens? You see, Psalm 147 talks about the cry of the ravens. Psalm 147. I know I'm getting you to turn to the references tonight, but it's good to keep your head in the book, isn't it? And we want always to make the Word of God central. I was at a wee prayer meeting yesterday for Israel, for the Jews. And a wee couple, actually, the wife, she's a descendant of Corrie ten Boom. Some of you may know Mrs. McBride, Mike and Corrie McBride from Letterkenny. They hold a wee prayer meeting in their home every month for Israel, for the Jews. Boy, it was good. But there was one of the folks yesterday that were saying that they just love to be in a meeting where the Word of God is central, where the teaching and the preaching of God's Word is central. And I said amen to that. But Psalm 147 verse 9. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. Isn't that lovely? The Lord hears the cry of the ravens. But doesn't just say that. It says he hears the cry of the young ravens. The Lord cares for the young birds, the young ravens. Of course, the Lord cares for young people a lot more than young birds, doesn't he? Folks, can I ask you to pray for a young man that we met on the outreach on Friday? A young Muslim man. Boy, he came walking up Carlisle Road up there toward Foyleside in the full garb, the full robes. I suppose you would call him a Muslim scholar. Young man, probably no more than 20 or 25. But I tell you, Kenny had a wonderful conversation with him, must have stood and spoke to him for about half an hour. And you do know that Muslims love to have a debate, a real fiery debate. I didn't realize this until Kenny informed me. He has a friend who works among Muslims, seeking to reach them with the gospel. And he said that they love you to be really forthright and fiery with them. None of this sort of behind, you know, beating about the bush, mealy-mouthed, excuse me, would you like to listen to the gospel? No, nothing like that. They like you to really come at them with all guns blazing and both barrels. And so Kenny, he kind of came at him from that angle and that perspective on Friday. So he didn't mince his words. He left the young man in no doubt. Will you pray for him? It was a divine appointment. There's a lot of tracts were given out, and I would say there's more tracts were taken on Friday than normal. And it's always nice to bump into believers, and Christians are coming along too. And I bumped into a young man, converted Roman Catholic, and talked about the system he was brought up in. And then he read Matthew 24, take heed that no man deceive you. And he began to realize that the Church of Rome is deceiving me. And he was saved by God's grace. But folks, the Lord cares for the young ravens, and they cry to the Lord. And would you pray that that young Muslim scholar, that he would cry to the Lord and be saved? Maybe we'll meet him in heaven someday. The Lord hears the cry of the young ravens. I want to encourage you folks tonight. He'll hear your cry too. You believers who are praying for your loved ones to be saved, or praying for some situation and there's no real breakthrough at the minute. Well, he hears your cry. So keep praying about that matter and keep bringing it to the Lord. For if he hears the young ravens, every young raven in the world, I mean, it's amazing. It would blow your mind. The Lord can hear them all. What a great God we worship tonight. But if he hears the ravens, if he hears their cry, he will hear your cry too. So keep praying for the Sunday school and the Lifeliners. Keep praying for the CD ministry and the sermon audio and the outreach. And keep praying for all the efforts that are taking place here in the church, and the Holiday Bible Club, of course, on the horizon as well. And everything else, the testimony night next Sunday and other testimony nights down the line as the year goes on. Just pray for it all. Keep crying to the Lord. And keep coming to the prayer meeting. And if you're not accustomed to coming to the prayer meeting, you come and you cry to the Lord. For if he hears the young ravens, he'll hear you too. Ah, but you say, I can hardly pray. Sure, boy, I could hardly string a sentence together in the prayer meeting. Don't worry. Just you come anyway. There's something refreshing about a short prayer. Boy, I love to hear a prayer that's just stammered and stuttered out for 10 seconds. Lord hears that quicker than the person who prays for 15 minutes and kills the prayer meeting. So come you and squawk at the prayer meeting. Just like the raven. Boy, the wee raven squawks and the Lord hears him and provides food. The Lord spreads the table, supplies the need of the ravens. Let's keep squawking at the prayer meeting, and the Lord will hear us and answer prayer. We don't have to come with big sentences, big words, evangelical, theological jargon. It's not necessary. Boy, you want to be in that prayer meeting yesterday? It would have wakened you up. It's an early church prayer meeting. A New Testament prayer meeting. There was liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I think the problem in Ulster tonight is that there are far too many dead prayer meetings. And you know, wasn't it Marie McCarroll in South Africa on one occasion as a missionary? She was in a prayer meeting, and boy, it was a dead prayer meeting. And you know what she said? She said she really wished that she had a big stick and could go round and hit everybody and waken everybody up in the prayer meeting. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that on Tuesday morning. But there's just something in your heart that kicks against dead prayer meetings when you're truly saved. When the life of God is in your soul, you don't want to be in a dead prayer meeting. May the Lord give us lively prayer meetings. Prayer meetings where people cry out to the Lord. They're not so worried about the person beside them. They're just worried about communicating with Almighty God. The cry of the raven. I wonder, did Elijah, as he hears the babbling brook, does he think about the colour of the raven and the cry of the raven? I wonder, did he think about the character of the raven? See, in Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy 14, you know what it says about the raven? They're unclean. Yes, Moses, as he wrote Leviticus and Deuteronomy, he, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he designates the raven as unclean. It was an unclean bird, an unclean creature, and it actually, to give it the proper wording, it's every raven. That's the phrase that Moses uses. Every raven. Leviticus 11:15, Deuteronomy 14:14. They were unclean. That was the characteristic of the raven, an unclean bird. But of course, that reminds me tonight that every one of us by nature are unclean. Until we come to Jesus Christ and until we're cleansed in his most precious blood, we too are unclean. We are spiritual ravens. But isn't it lovely that in 1 Kings chapter 17, if you turn back there to 1 Kings 17, and of course I've made the usual mistake of not putting a marker in it, so give me a moment till I find it again. But in 1 Kings chapter 17, isn't it lovely that the Lord takes these unclean birds and he cleanses them so that he can use them to feed Elijah? Isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't it wonderful to think that these unclean creatures, that the Lord chooses them and he cleanses them and he makes them his servants? I want to tell you tonight, if you need cleansing, the Lord can cleanse you and he can use you. You can be one of his ravens. In 2024, God's ravens still fly, you know, and you can be one of them. These ravens in 1 Kings 17, yes, because they were unclean, they had to be cleansed, and then they had to be changed. You see, I want you to notice that the Lord changed their hearts. You see, these birds were, how can I put it? They were carnivores. These birds, there was zero chance if they found meat that they were going to give it to anybody else. They would devour it right away. That was their nature. That was their heart. But all of a sudden you find these ravenous birds, these scavengers, and now they're picking up the meat that God has provided and they're delivering it to God's servant Elijah. And boy, you can just picture the ravens. They're flying twice a day and the meat's in their mouth and boy, they can smell it and you know, they're just about to devour it. But no, for some reason, they don't eat it and they bring it to Elijah and he feeds on the meat and the bread, and the ravens leave it alone because their heart has been changed. I want to tell you tonight that the Lord was able to change the hearts of the people of Israel, because at this particular time in Bible history, Israel has become idolatrous. Israel has turned from Jehovah and is worshipping Baal, and you have two wicked rulers on the throne, Ahab and Jezebel. But the Lord, if he can change the hearts of ravens, he can change the hearts of the people. And at Mount Carmel, he was going to do that. But you see, God was preparing Elijah here in 1 Kings 17 for what was up ahead. God's preparing us, you know, for what's up ahead. So keep coming every Sunday night. You never know what the Lord might say to you. But the ravens, they were cleansed. In spite of the fact that they were unclean. And tonight we're unclean in ourselves. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just
to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The ravens were cleansed and they were changed, and I want to tell you that tonight the Lord can change our hearts. He can change the hearts of our nation, because our nation tonight is full of idolatry. The United Kingdom, we're idolaters, we're a nation of idolaters, bettors, gamblers, betting on the football, the horse racing, millions, billions wasted on gambling. Bets here, there and everywhere, in the bookies, online. Money is our God, idolaters. See this thing here? That's the idol. It's another one of the great idols of the day, the phone. You see, whatever you love more than God is your idol. Whoever you love more than God is your idol. We are no better than ancient Israel. But I'm glad that the Lord who changed the hearts of the ravens that fed Elijah, he can change the hearts of people in our nation today. He can change the hearts of people walking down the street in new buildings tonight. And he can take away the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Boy, the heart of man is dirty and filthy and rotten, isn't it? It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But Elijah's God can change the heart. So just in case you thought tonight that you're a bit like the ravens, you're unclean and God could never use you, well, think again, take heart, be encouraged. God can use you. There's a work for you to do. I mean, Moses was a murderer and God used him. Some people would say, boy, it's terrible pity. Moses murdered a man, or else God could have used him. Well, God did use him in spite of murdering a man. Noah got drunk. Boy, it's terrible pity. Noah got drunk, or else God could have used him. I think God did use Noah. Rahab was a prostitute. Oh, it's terrible pity she was a prostitute, or God could have used her. Hello? He did use her. She was an ancestor of Christ. She was in the lineage of Christ, the Redeemer. Part of the line that led to the Savior in Matthew chapter 1. Boy, it's a terrible pity David had an affair where God could have used him. God did use him. 150 Psalms. They're still blessing us tonight. They've blessed us tonight. We've read from one of the Psalms, one of David's Psalms. Never ever write anybody off. You will find there'll be some Christians who will write you off. Christians will throw you in the scrap heap. Not all, but some. You know, the legalistic, judgmental type of Christian. Boy, they'll have you in the scrap heap before you can say Jack Robinson. They'll write you off. But it doesn't matter if Christians, other Christians write you off. God won't write you off. He didn't write Peter off. Oh, isn't it such a pity, poor Peter. If he hadn't denied the Lord, I mean, the Lord could have done great things through him. The Lord saved 3,000 people through him in the day of Pentecost. Do you get the point, folks? Never write anybody off. And if God can use these people we've talked about tonight, and if God can use ravens, then he can use you and me. I wonder, did Elijah consider not only the colour of the ravens and the cry and the character of the ravens, but I wonder, did he consider the course of the ravens as we finish tonight, the course? Wonder as Elijah saw the ravens flying back and forward twice every day. Wonder, did he think back to Genesis chapter 8, where you have the first mention of the raven there? In Genesis chapter 8, and this is the last reference for tonight, Genesis 8. Go down to verse 7, please. Genesis 8 and verse 7. And he, this is Noah, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. So the raven was in the ark. I didn't realize it, but it must have been in the ark if Noah sent it forth. I kind of always thought, well, the birds, they can fly away up high, so they're in no danger from the flood, so they weren't in the ark, but it was wrong. So the raven and the dove were in the ark, but here Noah sends out the raven first of all. The raven that came into the ark for safety, the first chance it gets, it's away back. You know, that reminds me of backsliders tonight. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight who's gone back. You've drifted back. It's very easy to do, by the way. I think there's half the Christians in Ulster and they're backslidden and they don't even know it. Oh, we pigeonhole so-and-so, they're a backslider. So-and-so's a backslider. It'd be very easy to be a backslider yourself. Like the raven, way back. But the Lord is married to the backslider. And the Lord will draw the backslider back to himself. I mean, he did it for David. We've already talked about him tonight. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And I tell you, the Lord answered that prayer, and he did. Don't be too hard on the backsliders tonight. For the man talking to you right now was once a backslider. I'm glad our God is the God of the second chance, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace, not law, not ticking the boxes, not religion, but grace can restore. Touched by a loving hand, wakened by kindness, chords that were broken will vibrate once more. Hallelujah. Let's pray.